Well, turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, found on page 665 of your pew Bibles. As I mentioned earlier, this is the last of the contributions of David to the Psalter. And these portions of God's Word that we have been studying over these last weeks have been intended to cause us to worship Him, to praise His name. And certainly we have before us this evening a psalm of praise, a psalm of David. And Psalm 145 is similar to Psalm 25 and Psalm 119 in that it is an acrostic, where each of these verses is laid out with another letter from the Hebrew alphabet. A pattern used to help God's people to remember, to memorize these portions of God's Word. And in fact, Psalm 145 is a psalm that is recited twice daily by the Jews in the morning and once in the evening, a familiar psalm and one that is familiar to us. Thus, we're singing several portions of it this evening, because we can. Well, hear now this portion of God's Word. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his works and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Well, as we look this evening at this portion of God's Word, we'll be looking at three things. First, we'll be examining David's pledge to praise. Second, a commitment to the next generation. And third, God, a help to the hurting. So let's look at our passage this evening. Our first point, this pledge to praise, is found in these early verses of Psalm 145. Here is David, who is committing himself to the praise of God. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. We see through this opening that David views his God as not something that he would compartmentalize and lay aside only to be thought of each Lord's Day or each time that he would go into the temple. But rather, here we see that David understands the necessity of and his desire for his God each and every day. David, who has experienced God's deliverance throughout his life, God's protection, God's salvation, has no one else that he would rather be focused upon all the days of his life. And as here David is saying that he will focus upon God, that he will engage himself in singing the blessings and the praises of God, that he will fill his mind with all of the powerful works of God, that he might be filled to overflowing with thanksgiving for what God has done, rather than, as the world does, be filled with grumbling and meditating upon our displeasures, remembering those things that didn't go as we had desired. But instead, he says, I will focus on you. I will focus on that one who has proven himself true and faithful, that one who is my deliverer. And we see that as he gives himself to the meditation upon the Word of God, upon recalling all of God's powerful works, that David finds himself in a perpetual state of awe and wonder. In wonder at what God has been pleased to do. In wonder at that wonderful salvific work that God has carried out, as he meditates upon even those sins that he has committed, which had no well-suited sacrifice, that of adultery and murder. And yet he experienced the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God when he repented of his sins. And for David, the marvel of what it is that God has done causes him to be filled with awe and wonder. We see here as David pledges himself, he doesn't merely say that he will praise the name of God all of the days of his life upon the earth. And this is an indicator that David understood that this wasn't ultimately his greatest concern, this life, his time upon the earth. Here we see that David is pledging himself to sing the praises of God not only in this life, but forevermore, looking ahead to that which is his home, his true home, his heavenly home, and an eternity that is ours in Christ with God. And so he's looking ahead to that new life, to that life without end, secured for him by God, and as we know, through his Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, not only does this awe and marvel at the works of God have an effect of causing David to praise his name, but we see here that he moves on to a concern for the next generation. And certainly he has in his mind what we read earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 6, that command of God that parents would give themselves to the instruction of their children, relaying to that next generation the mighty deeds of God, that they would know them, and that they would know him more importantly. That God would not fall out of the minds of his people. And so we see this shift in verse 4. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. And that's a powerful witness even for our children. I can remember when I finally came to an age that I was getting up on my own without being prompted. I would get up and get out of bed and go upstairs, and there I would discover my father sitting at the table doing his devotions. Until that time, I wasn't normally getting up at that time. But that had a powerful impact upon me as I saw my father, without being prompted, without being reminded, by the desire of his own heart to grow in his knowledge of God's word, there in the quiet of the house, alone, with God's word open, spending time in the word. And we wonder sometimes as parents how it is that we will be effective in this awesome calling that God has given us to raise our children. But one of the ways that God is pleased to use us is by that demonstration of a commitment to the study of his word ourselves. That our children will see it. That it will lead to either questions from them that we can then speak and attest to the good that we ourselves have received from a knowledge of his word, from his instruction in our lives when we have faced various trials and difficulties. But that it will also be something that our children want to emulate themselves as they see it being demonstrated by us. We see that, don't we, in our young children? They have a time that they go through where they would even want to dress like us. And I can remember my folks got me a little uniform that matched my father's uniform one Christmas because I wanted to wear a little feral gas propane distributor uniform. Now, eventually, we get older and our styles change, and we may not necessarily want to dress like our fathers or our mothers, but that is a tendency in our children to want to emulate, imitate, and follow after that pattern set forth by their parents. And it's also a reminder to us as a body, as a church, that we have a responsibility to relay to those coming up behind us, to that next generation, the mighty works of God. It's one of the good things about sharing our testimonies, sharing with those of the body how God has been pleased to work in our lives, how he has turned our path away from one that only led to destruction and now leads us in the glorious light of Christ into peace and joy and love. If you recall, each time we have the wonderful celebration of the baptism of an infant, we have a responsibility that we are called upon as a congregation to ourselves, commit ourselves to that important task of educating and being an example and witness to this one whom we are calling upon God to fulfill his covenant promises. And what is the expectation of David? But that coming generation shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. It is the hope of any parent that is in Christ that Their children will know at a far earlier age than perhaps they did themselves of the wonders and goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That God would be pleased to spare them from those mistakes of our youth as He directs them through Christ in accord with His commands. We see here a desire for others to know and to enjoy that heavenly inheritance that David has spoken of. It is here for us a reminder of why it is that we engage ourselves in that important work of evangelism. Why it is that we open our mouths around those whom God is pleased to put across our paths. Because we want to speak of our King. We want to speak of our Savior. We still ourselves marvel and are in awe of what it is that Christ and Christ alone has done. That those around us may themselves know His saving work. That they may know of God's grace and mercy and love. We see here in David this desire that not only will our children, but our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and generations to come remember the good work of the Lord and call upon Him. That they will not continue to in the patterns of sinners, that they will not follow after that pattern of judges which cycled between seasons of remembering and seasons of forgetting and going after the gods of the earth rather than that one who had established them. We see here toward the end that here David speaks of the help that is to be found in God alone. Again, we spoke this morning briefly of this paralyzing fear that we have of evangelism, not knowing the right things to say, not knowing how to frame the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet here we see in the 145th Psalm a very powerful an effective way of speaking of God and His mighty works, which culminated in that most important work, that of the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for each one who has enjoyed the saving work of Christ, there is a reminder here for you as to what it is that you can speak about with your neighbor, your co-worker, your family member that has not yet proclaimed and professed faith in Christ. Look from verses 13 and a half down. The Lord is faithful in all His words and kind in all His works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to You and You give them their food in due season. Well, certainly, even from this short passage, these touch on many of the cares and concerns that our neighbors who are apart from Christ are presently facing, the difficulties that weigh heavy upon them, and you have something of value that you can share with them. You can relay to them from your own perspective, from your own experience, how it is that God has sustained you. How He has comforted you and led you so graciously in your life. And this is the kind of comfort that many in the world are looking for, but sadly they're looking in all the wrong places. They're pursuing their own pleasures and desires rather than looking to that which is permanent, immovable, lasting, faithful and true. Here he describes God as you open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. That the Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His works. And the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. You see, we put before those who the Lord puts across our path this comfort of a God who is present, a God who is with his people. A lot of the false gods that man has created for himself are afar off. And partly that's due to the design of sinful man. Sinful man has been created to worship something, but sinful man doesn't want to give up that throne himself. And so he crafts for himself gods and idols which are agreeable to his sinful nature, which are sufficiently far off, that don't call into question the desires of his heart. A God after his own making. But such a God is no comfort. Because down deep we know that those false gods of our own creation are impotent, without power, and only the fabrication of our minds. But brothers and sisters, you who know and have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that God is personal and real. You know that your God is not far off, but that we serve a God who has bowed his ear to his people, who hears when we cry, who understood the terrible situation in which man found himself in sin, and rather than leave him there to be destroyed and to rot, provided a means of salvation, sending his own Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, into the world to do what we could not do, what we cannot do, to obey perfectly all the commands of God, that he might be deemed righteous, a perfectly blemish-free sacrifice, able to take upon his shoulders our transgressions, freeing us from that penalty due to us for sin, that we might be made righteous as he is righteous by his own righteousness. Brothers and sisters, for those who are struggling, for those who are walking in darkness, for those to whom this life seems to be all that there is and it is not spectacular, Lord, brothers and sisters, you have the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ to share with them, that they might cry out to him, that they might seek his face as he has revealed himself. And as you would engage in these activities of evangelizing your neighbors, of speaking of that one whom you love, the Lord Jesus Christ, wrap these things in prayer, that God would go before you by his Holy Spirit, preparing their hearts and their minds, that as you would sing the praises of God, as you would attest to his mighty deeds, his wonderful work, even within you, that God would be pleased to draw them to himself. I mentioned at the outset that this is the final word from David within the Bible. And he ends on a note that I pray would be our own praise, that would be upon our lips at the end of this short life which the Lord gives to us. that we too would commit ourselves. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. And let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. As this day draws to a close, as the beginning of a new work week is before us, as we contemplate going back to school tomorrow, may the Lord keep his mighty works before our eyes and in our minds. And may he open to us opportunities that we may sing his praises. And may he continue to build his church as he would be pleased to use us as his instruments. Amen. Let's look to him in prayer. Almighty God, again, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this reminder that we are to be a people whose praise and prayer are offered without ceasing. A people, Lord, whom you have been pleased to call out from the world in such a great and splendid way through our Savior Jesus Christ. And as we stop, as we lay aside the busyness of our lives and we meditate upon what it means to be made new in Christ, may our hearts be filled to overflowing with awe and wonder at what he has done, what he and only he is capable of. And Lord, as we meditate upon these things, and as we come across those who are struggling, those who are hurting and broken, may you move our hearts, filling them with compassion, to share with them that which is most precious to us, the good news of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know that it will not be by our skillful words, our subtle or skillful persuasion. But Lord, we do pray that you would be pleased to use us as instruments in your hand to declare your goodness, to recall your mighty acts, and that you, Lord, would bring about such a miraculous conversion around us. Lord, that we again would be drawn back to your previous examples that we even spoke of this morning. Oh Lord, you turned a godless city of Nineveh into worshipers of God. Lord, certainly we know that you are needed in this community, in this nation. Lord, your glorious gospel is needed in all the nations of the world. And so, Lord, use us. That as we would sing your praises, as we would proclaim your goodness, at every opportunity that you afford us, you would be pleased to build your church. And we pray these things in the name of that one who has done these great things, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.